auctioneers, like the dudes and gals that like that call it out, it's so fun. Molly and I were driving back from somewhere, maybe after dinner, and just saw light post, just a paper staple to it that just said auction, like McLaren, like 2024 McLaren, Rolex, Picasso paintings. And I was like, that seems wild. And then got the number, called them, was like, can I just come to this? And they're like, yeah, how many people? I'm like, three. And ended up going to this auction with Malin and her mom just for kicks and giggles. And I ended up buying a painting.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right. Legendary.
For over 10 years, innovation has been at the core of who we are at Selkirk. We take risks, we test, we evolve. Introducing the Selkirk Lab 007. With an Infinigrid surface that lasts at least 3 times longer than rock carbon, and a titanium mesh layer for added power, while maintaining the largest sweet spot available. Because good is never good enough.
Hello, Robert.
Hello, Adam. I've had some people asking, have we recorded a podcast lately? And, you know, we haven't. So life's busy, you know, but here we are. We're finishing the year on a strong note. We're recording this on December 31st, New Year's Eve. And I feel like today, I mean, we obviously didn't come in with a plan because it never feels right to come in with a plan. But it feels like a decent day to kind of recap 2024 and see what we have to look forward to in 2025. What do you say, Adam?
I like this.
Yeah?
It's a nice little arbitrary end to the year and get going for 2025. And there's a lot of stuff going on. Rob, I have a new setup and I have a new background. So
God, it's loud. It's noisy. I love it.
Yes,
your hair looks really nice too. You got the full beard looking sharp. I saw some beautiful Christmas pictures of you and the fam and good God, dude, little AJ is just a little doll.
Yeah, he's a champ.
I just want to squeeze him to death.
Yeah.
Oh my
it's,
God.
It's fun to do. He's very cuddly.
It's unbelievable.
So. Yeah.
And he seems like, last few times he's been on here, he seems to be a very happy-go-lucky type of guy.
He is.
I know you would probably fight that a lot in terms of, I remember a lot of conversations we had, call it 7-8 months ago, where you're like, this kid.
I think I would say I love him, but he's being a today. No, he's a champ. He's getting more and more fun as see that personality coming out. Maybe he'll make an appearance today. I don't know what the prof has in store for us. So
I would absolutely anticipate an appearance, but you know, I like that you're keeping everybody on the edge of their seats.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of baby, you know, experience before this, a little bit with the niece and the nephews, but he seems like a pretty happy guy. He doesn't, not a big fan when mom leaves the room, but other than that, it's pretty solid stuff.
That's great. And he's what are the updates with, like, what's he doing now? I am like the least versed person on baby kind of progressions. Like, is he crawling, walking? What's he doing?
Oh, big time walking. He's like,
oh yeah,
you know, like wrestle, flop around on the couch, you know, just all into everything. Just wants to grab stuff, open doors, close doors, just get
curious guy.
Curious
he's gonna
guy.
Be smart then. He must have gotten Corinne's
correct.
Mind.
That is okay, correct. Good. Yeah. So
and hopefully also her athletic ability. And also let's probably say her looks. And also let's probably say let's hope he gets your sense of humor and your social ability.
Well, hey,
that would
be
a
good mix.
That would
be
the perfect. That would be the perfect kid, actually.
Yeah. Thanks for throwing me a bone there for one attribute
that
he's going to get from me.
Let's hope that he gets Corinne's punctuality and.
Hey! I actually have better time management than Corinne, which is, you know, you wouldn't guess that her being a professor. But no, I would say like maybe a solid 80-90% her, 10-20% me is the perfect happy place there.
It's a solid balance.
Yeah, it is. Look at this lovely coffee mug.
How are your holidays? Did you get anything special? Did you give anything special?
I got
anything special?
I got socks and shoes, and shout out to mother-in-law Debbie Carr, who hooked me up with a new light and a new table.
Let's go, Debbie.
So that's very exciting.
She was probably just tired of you, like, watching the pod and seeing you in a dungeon.
Yeah, me in a dungeon with a my mom, you know, sending me scathing texts that I have a clump of plugs next to my head for one episode. She didn't like that. So, yeah, it was the last episode. Yeah, it was. It was. So, but no, it was. Go ahead.
The lighting looks great.
It does, yeah. We went to Pinehurst. They always, in-laws, they always hook it up. Nice meals, good fun, a little bit of red wine, and just enjoying the time off. And I was talking about it with producer Josh before this. Like, it reinvigorates you. Like, this has only been a couple weeks that we have been no pickleball. We are both pickleball.
Nice, right?
We are both pickleball guys, but it gives you something when you get that little break. When it's just constantly throughout, it's tough to get, like, overly amped for a specific event or tournament or slate of tournaments. And I'm very excited for the Masters coming up, the international stuff, and all the wonderful pickleball action to start 2025.
It's fun because there's so much more to cover now.
Like, yes.
We can cover, obviously, the Masters. The Fort is kind of debuting their new facility for the APP event, I think, in mid-January. And then we've got, from there, we've got, I think, all three Indian pro leagues that are doing their thing. I know the one I'm doing, Global Sports, is the beginning of February, the 2nd to 3rd to 9th or something like that. I think PWR moved theirs back a little bit. I think it was supposed to be mid-Jan, and now it's maybe end of January.
Okay.
And then World Pickleball League, I think maybe it might be the first one that's going. But, I mean, we've got a bunch of players. Like, if I mean, look, we've got 18 men, I believe, in PWR. We've got probably a bunch of men in Global. And we've got a bunch of guys I know, like Sobek and Jack Foster and some other guys going to the World Pickleball League. I did see Johnny Pickleball is a coach for the World Pickleball League.
Oh, JP.
I thought that was interesting. Is he still working with PPA or UPA?
I have no idea. So he was doing, like, the PPA clinics camp type situation, and I haven't seen him in a little while. I know he's competed in a couple tournaments, so I do not know what the situation is there. So the only pro player that is a combat veteran. Shout out to Johnny Pickleball. Hey, let's go.
Is that true? What about Brooke Buckner?
I don't know. Maybe it was combat. Maybe that's the key word in that situation. I'm not positive, but either way, shout out to Johnny.
Hey, you always get a shout out if you're either the first of something or the only something.
That's right.
And if he's the only something, shout out.
Shout out. Yeah. And he brings that DJ voice. I remember when he was doing the Johnny Pickleball show. It was so good. Yeah. He'd be like, guaranteedrate.com, buy, sell, refinance. I'm just like, oh my God, Johnny, give me more of that. Give me more.
What I love listening back to is kind of like the news guys on the radio and TV, like, call it from, like, the 30s and 40s. Like, their voice was so different than anything now. And it wasn't just, I guess it was a radio voice or TV voice or something, but it was like, it's interesting to see how our language has changed and how it's gotten, like, way more casual. And I would probably say lazy, right? Probably.
Yeah. That's me. That's me on the mic. So I don't have much of a different voice. And if I do, I'm forcing it. So I'm not trained as a professional like some of these other broadcasters.
People like casual. People want to hear from real people. People don't want the welcome to Daytona. It's the PPA. Yeah, no, don't need it. Don't need it.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, appreciate that.
So keep doing, Adam.
I'm gonna keep it plain. I'm gonna keep it plain and regular for 2025. Rob, yeah, there's a lot going on. So I got a little list here of new partnerships for the PPA Masters, and
Adam,
let's just touch. Go ahead.
Before we get into pickleball, I've got to tell you one more thing about.
Please.
Just a tangent off topic, but it made me think of it because we were doing the voices. And I don't know if you've ever been to one of these, like a true, like, auction, but auctioneers, like the dudes and gals that, like, that call it out. It's so fun. So Molly and I were driving back from somewhere, maybe after dinner, and just saw literally like on a lamp or light post. Just a paper staple to it that just said auction, like McLaren, like 2024 McLaren, Rolex, Picasso paintings. And I was like, that seems wild. And then got the number, called them, was like, can I just come to this? And they were like, yeah, how many people? I'm like, three. And ended up going to this auction with Malin and her mom just for kicks and giggles. And I ended up buying a painting.
Yeah, that's. I was like, where exactly are we going here? And that's a perfect ending right there. I got some artwork.
I couldn't believe I did it. And the only reason I did it was because it was a damn auctioneer, because he was just right. Like,
he's a champ.
This is an original Peter Max painting. I don't know who Peter Max is, but Malin's mom owned a art gallery, art studio in New York City, like in the, I don't remember when, like 90s or 80s or something like that. And she knew art. She like actually knew a bunch of the artists. Like, I think she, you know, she's met Andy Warhol and people like that. So she was like kind of in that scene in New York and like knew who Peter Max was, and that like he's very old. I think he's maybe 90 and gonna die soon. And this had a role in me buying it, actually, because I think when art, like when he dies, shouldn't the value go up?
Yeah. That's what it does for like sports memorabilia and stuff like that.
Really?
So, okay. So I think you're officially cultured now that you've bought a painting.
I bought fine art at an auction.
Yes. I remember, Rob, I remember the show Storage Wars.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And they had the auctioneer. They had the auctioneer guy. Yes. And it was just so, I mean, I don't even know what he was saying, but it was just so cool. And it makes you want to put your hand up, you know, or go whoop, or the whoop guy or whatever.
I was number 106. I couldn't believe it. Yes. And like the reason I raised it, I couldn't believe it. I was like, what is my hand doing? Why would I ever buy this? Like, what am I doing? It was just like a reaction. But they were like, the reason I did it was because they were in such disbelief that it was going at such a low price. And I was like, they're making it sound like this is the deal of the century. And they did, like, this was like early on in the auction. So I was like, okay, this sounds like I'm impossible to lose money on this. So raised it. And then come to find out, like they made every single piece that they did like it was the best deal in the century. So yeah. I was just like, okay, like, I probably got bamboozled a little bit. But I got an email yesterday saying, hey, send me a picture of the certificate of authenticity and a picture of the front, and I will send you the appraisal for it. So it's some appraiser. So I'm curious on like what it's going to come in at versus like what I bought it for. We shall see. I'll update next episode.
Okay. Yeah, please do. I'll be waiting with bated breath.
Okay. That was my tangent. On to the Masters. Yeah. Here we go.
No, good, good. First, let's just touch a little bit on the paddle situation. I know that it's just in flux as it could possibly be. Not shocking for pickleball, but I do know that the YOLA mod has, I believe it's July, it'll be officially not playable for UPA events. I also know that there's a situation with PPA about which paddle companies are going to be available for the players to use in UPA events moving forward. So I know I just played a little pickleball with Jesse Irvin, and she's in a tough spot because I do not believe, as of right now, Engage is on that list. So she has a contract with Engage. She has a UPA contract. She's not exactly sure where the cookie is going to crumble there. So.
Any idea of how that would, like, what are the scenarios of how it could play out? So Engage isn't on the list. So she, like, Engage has to give her, well, it's basically you have to have a paddle that's on the approve list.
Right. PPA, right. 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 And, okay. And the lists are changing. Like, I see one list where these three companies are on and one they're off. So I have no idea where it stands, but I mean, we're talking like, I mean, I'm leaving to commentate the event in a week or something like that. So
yeah, it's coming up. I mean, hold on, what are the days? Is it next weekend?
Yeah. What day is it today?
Friday, 31st.
No, but like what day?
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Yeah. So I leave. Basically, I leave literally a week from today. Yeah. Right. Okay. So, and it is a slam. So it's like I'm doing 5 days, and I'm not even doing Championship Sunday. So it's like a full week of action when you're talking about a slam. But that's quick. That's quick.
That's very quick, and they got to figure it out soon.
Right.
Especially with all the Selkirk players too.
Right. Yeah. Selkirk. I know we got. I mean, just a couple of the ones that I know or know as of now are engaged in Gearbox, and that's not like a huge amount of pro players, but there's some. So yeah. I'm wondering what's going to happen. Maybe they push back the whatever for a few tournaments, allow all of the paddles in. I really just do not know. And hopefully down in Palm Desert or across in Palm Desert, I'll get some insider info and some kind of behind the scenes action where it's all going to settle, because it's a big deal.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. You can't use your paddle.
You can't use your paddle. Right.
What are you going to do? Right.
So
it's not like you can't wear this pair of shoes and you can switch to something else.
It's
like,
sure. Yeah. That's your weapon of choice. You know, you need to be dialed, especially with how good everyone is.
We are Selkirk. We are pickleball.
Pickleball?
Yeah. Pickleball.
All ages, family, friends, dinks, drives, Ernie's, ATPs, and whatever this is. 10 years in and just getting started. Here and not going anywhere. We are you, and you are who we work for. Family-owned, USA-made, pickleball proud. Selkirk Sport. We are pickleball.
I've been banging around the boomstick a little bit.
The boomer?
The 008 as well. And man, when the boom's playing well, it's playing well. That thing is, I played with the 16 and the 13. I would probably lean to liking the 13 more, to be honest. Even though, like, I've talked to some players and they're like, the 16, I feel like, has a bit more pop to it, which is unusual, right? But I think
it is unusual.
It does have a little bit of like a little trampoline effect, it feels like, and it comes off the 16 pretty hot. But exciting to see, like, it's just exciting to see Selkirk, like, going hard in the labs. And, like, they got the 007, the 008, the boomstick. They got them out really quickly. And I think that's going to be the same trend going into 2025 is, you know, I talked to Jace Edwards, who's kind of in the R&D section of Selkirk working through it. And they're going to pump out a bunch of paddles this year in the labs. They're going to test. Get it to the market, see what works, what doesn't, and just iterate really, really fast. So really excited to see Selkirk go in that direction in terms of trying to innovate really quickly.
No, so, that's definitely exciting. And I'm slacking a little bit on my emails to Selkirk to get a few of these fresh new puppies in my hand to play with them a little bit. So I'm going to get on that. And it's just, you can hear about it and, you know, word of mouth, that's great, but until you get it in your hand, you just don't know. So I'm excited for that, and it's cool to see. I mean, I mean, just one or two things came out, and I was like, oh, that's great. And then, I mean, I'm talking like a couple weeks later, you get a new thing and a new thing, and I'm commentating the event, and I see a player, see Catherine with a boomstick in her hand, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, like, what is this? So it's exciting times.
You know who's heading your way, right? I believe next month, maybe, or maybe February.
Please tell me.
Colin Schick.
What do you mean? What do you mean heading my way?
He's moving back to Chapel Hill.
He's moving back to do med school, right? So yeah, I was drilling. Yeah. I was drilling with
balls.
Him for right, that's right.
And you and him.
Trying,
you and him.
Yeah, we'll see. We're trying to do this. There's a little buzz up here. I don't know if you know the Gilberts, Eric and Ryan Gilbert, but there's a little something about a Raleigh Pro League. And you know, I wasn't going to do any, competition, but you know, I might jump in there. And old Schicky, he played with his brother in a previous event who's still kind of on the tennis scene. And I don't think they won.
Had a decent result though.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they won, but had a very tight match with a very good team. I believe it was actually Deckel. Maybe Deckel and Pablo.
It was like 9-9 or 8-9.
Yeah, right, right, right.
It was
right.
Tight,
so,
two tight games.
Yeah, and I was drilling with him before he went over to Charlotte this last year, so maybe we'll get back on it. And, yeah, the play is getting better around here. played with Stefan Averne and Jesse yesterday, the pickleball doctor, Noah Saraband. He's playing pretty solid ball too. So it's like, it's kind of legit over here when, you know, everyone's level is rising, mine is dipping. So we're in this happy place where it's good games, you know, let's go. Come on.
What's Stefan's plan? Is he going to, did you talk to him about like what his plans are in terms of tournaments and.
A little bit. I don't believe so. I think he's just going to do MLP and some sprinkled in PPA events. I believe that's what he said. Sorry, Stefan, if I'm mincing your words. I don't believe so. That was not brought up. So, like I said, maybe I heard that wrong when I was, you know, just dialed in, lighting him up.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it's just everyone because it's like, I mean, he gets there and, you know, maybe I should have more information than I do. So he's kind of poking at me like, what's the new buzz? This and that. And Jesse's over there and we're kind of discussing all the stuff going on. And, just nobody really knows. So there's a lot happening. And I mean, if you just look back at the beginning of 2024, I mean, this is a perfect time to do a little light recap.
Yeah.
Like it's, I mean, the quickness of things changing. I mean, we've only had these 3-year contracts for MLP and PPA for one of the 3 years. Already have, I mean, this international stuff was just non-existent several months ago. And now it's bigger time stuff. So, the quickness and the haste with which things are changing in the sport is freaking wild.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It is.
One thing I will say is I couldn't bite my tongue, which oftentimes I can't bite my tongue. it's one of the you know, one of my worst attributes.
Is it?
But,
no. Go ahead.
I think so. But there's an article written about how, you know, women's pickleballers, pro pickleballers are some of the highest paid athletes in women's sports. And my thought is, I mean, yes, that's great for the ladies, but it's an absolute embarrassment to the sport, in my opinion, like to the tours and the leagues in terms of we have nothing to show for it. Not really. Like what do we have to show for it? We don't have a $50 million media rights deal with, you know, Amazon or Tennis Channel or something. Like we just don't. So like what justifies having a $30 million payroll where everybody's overpaid on inflated salaries and like that, like we shouldn't be higher paid than the WNBA. No chance.
Hope is a strong thing. I think that
is that Shawshank Redemption?
Something like that, or I think it's a lot of things that have said that, but hope is one of the strongest human emotions or something like that.
That's beautiful, Adam. That's beautiful.
It is.
And it's true. I'm deep. It's true. Hope and a prayer. Maybe it works, but
right.
But I don't think we should be bragging about how highly paid players are right now when we have nothing to show for
us. I believe it was 260K was the average salary for a female
which is absolutely absurd. It's to me that's embarrassing. Why are we saying that? That should be like kept under wraps. Everybody should have signed an NDA to not talk about salaries because it's so embarrassing.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild number though for equal pay and 260K and I mean there's
all four equal pay. I think that's amazing. And pickleball's done equal pay since I can remember, right, Adam? Like going back
Simone Jargim, she was the biggest advocate for it back in the day, and she I don't know how integral she was, but she was a part of it, and it's kind of held true. And,
yeah, I mean, that's why she's a Hall of Famer, baby.
There you go.
I truly, from when I started, I don't remember ever seeing pay that wasn't equal. So I think, you know, big props to pickleball as a whole in terms of all the organizations that have been here from the beginning that have kind of paved the way for that, because that's a big deal.
Yeah. And I think it probably makes sense more in pickleball than a lot of other sports, just because
the
men and the women are closer. Yeah. The men and the women are closer in level. And the women's game has some special parts about it that makes it, as good, if not better for viewing. So 100%. That's been debated plenty. So, makes sense to me.
Equal makes sense. I just think overall highly inflated. Not anything to brag about right now.
I agree.
Let's brag about it when we have some big time deals come in.
There's special circumstances that created this, but I mean,
yeah, I do.
I do at the same time think that it kind of just in life it works this way. You know, like it was weird with the whole merger and all this, and that was happening a year and a half ago, whatever it was. But you know, that's you kind of have to throw something out there to hopefully get something later on, and that is the situation that pickleball's in. But it's very dynamic, and there's a lot of information and back and forth going on. So hopefully it settles in a good place for us and for everyone in the community.
100%. I'm sure it will. Hopefully everybody keeps hoping.
Yeah. That's right. Hope, hope, hope.
Hope to hope.
Well,
I hope
mean,
they hope.
I mean,
keep
it's only
keep paying.
It's only been a couple of years. Like, I think there's some organizations and sporting platforms or leagues or whatever that have been hoping for like 40 years or something like that.
And
someone WNBA. Keeps coming in. Yeah, someone keeps coming in and kind of little infusion of cash keeps it afloat, and to have that, you know, grab. Where but you usually, know they get the viewership that they're hoping for. So
usually it's subsidized business. By somebody. Like the WNBA has always been subsidized by the NBA, right? WNBA has always lost money. It's never been a profitable venture. But the NBA makes so much money that they're like, let's throw some over here. But I think that's changing because you know who, Adam, and.
God, don't please. You already did a tangent.
Say her name.
I will not do it. You already did your tangent with your auctioneer spiel. That's your tangent for today. But I know, like, volleyball too. I think volleyball is a similar situation where it's like you think it's going to take off. I think this is beach volleyball, and then someone comes in and buys it and kind of gives it a little more oomph, and it hangs around for a little, and they're still – you know, hoping for it. I could be wrong about this, but to fully catch fire. So this is how the world works.
I did talk to just to say her name, Caitlin Clark. She's changing women's athletics for the better. I also bought. I renewed. Well, kind of renewed. I put like a small payment down to renew my season tickets. Our season tickets. Sorry, Colin. For the Fever. To continue watching Caitlin Clark build her Hall of Fame career. She might be inducted into the Hall of Fame the end of 2025. Who knows? I mean, what she's doing out there is just it's Jordan-esque. It's just, you know, unprecedented. Oh, I was gonna say something else. Oh, speaking of, like, because you were like, I don't know if this is true, and then you talked about volleyball, and like, it could have been true, it could have been fake news, it could have been, who knows. But what I did talk, I had Eric Tice, you know Eric Tice.
Yeah,
I had him on the Behind the Paddle podcast. Josh, just letting you know, I recorded two podcasts for Behind the Paddle. Sorry I didn't let you know, but they're there. And Eric was just like, yeah, you know, sometimes I hear you guys say stuff like I've recaps of tournaments. And he was like, yeah, that's absolutely not true. But you guys said it confidently. And I was like, hey, that's going to happen. I would not say we are, neither of us, Adam, are necessarily detail or fact oriented. We watch, we see what we see. We see the big picture. We understand what's happening. But I would say we don't balance each other on the details, because I'm not a details person. I certainly know you are not either. Mm-hmm. But with that said, I told Eric that because he is so detail oriented and he's like so organized, so operational, I was like, it would be really fun to have you on as kind of like a semi-regular guest to actually talk about real stats, real details, and have that level of insight. So Eric should be joining us at some point soon.
I need examples, Tice. I'm not sure that I've said a bunch of wrong things. I do not believe it.
It was probably
examples.
I believe I've said a lot of wrong things.
Well, I commentated the match, and I will still say wrong things about it. So that is it all kind of blurs together. Somebody will ask me, like, well, what happened over here in this match? And I'm like, I honestly have no idea. I was there. I commentated it. I saw what was happening. I actually probably said a couple insightful things on the broadcast. And then it's just like studying for a test in college. You just wipe it clean. You know, you memorize the page, you take the test, you wipe it clean. That's that. If anyone wants to talk smack to me about it, they can, you know, they can find me.
100%. Adam, are you one of those, were you one of those players that could play, call it a tournament or call it a year? Let's say you look back on your year and you can remember specific points in a match. Like I can't remember anything. I can't remember what happened my last match.
No, I'm weird like that. So I will remember some random weird specifics, and something much more important and much bigger just goes in, you know, one ear and out the other. I don't even process it. So it could be something odd about an old school match or something, even like some patterns that happened or some specific points where that I did this and they did this and da 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 whatever. And then, you know, like I can't remember what medal I got, you know, so it's definitely like that for me. I have a, you know, an odd mind, odd brain, but that's how it works.
Yes, you do. You certainly do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we've tried to get into the Masters for the last 30 minutes. So let's get into the Masters.
Yeah. So, there's a large list of some very fun new partnerships. And, you know, let's just start off with men's doubles, because that is our best event. I'm not going to say it's my favorite event, but that was your current best event and my previous best event. So, we have Christian Alshon and Andre Daescu. I think that makes sense on paper. I like it. I don't believe they played together before, but Eric Tice, call me out, please, if I am incorrect.
Definitely have not.
I'm waiting for examples. That could be very juicy. Andre it's like right when you're like, I'm not sure he's in that elite grouping, boom, gold medal, boom, silver medal. Boom, fantastic three tournament run. The guy is just up there. He is as consistent as you can be. And I think he pairs well with someone who has a higher ceiling and some special attributes. So I think that could be a very good team.
Andre having offense to the right of him is a big deal. It's important. Super important.
Yeah, I agree. Jaume and Augustus Guh. Think that, you know, I would say that is a tier below than that previous matchup that we just talked about. But that is a team that I think you don't particularly want to play that team. So both pretty solid guys, both, you know, have had mixed in nice results. And then actually at the same time, maybe feel like both are going to take a big leap, and hasn't quite happened for them, but still very, very good and plenty of reason to believe that they could do some damage. And Rob, I guess it had to be memes of pickleball, but they did the compilation of the sexual innuendos from the broadcasters.
I haven't seen it yet. But
oh my God. It's just, it's like 7 minutes long or something like that of just the most sexual possible things, and they snip it right in the perfect spot. So even when in real time, it doesn't sound sexual, it sounds sexual for this. And Augie had the finishing.
What, Adam?
The last clip of that video was Augie Guh talking about him and JW and their partnerships, and it's absolute gold. So please go check that out if you haven't seen it. Anyway. Of course we have, South Florida buddies, JW Johnson and Gabe Tardio playing together, which of course is a team that can win any tournament. So that's very exciting.
I need to check, did Tardio sign anything?
I don't think so.
Message Hathaway.
I don't believe that he has come to an agreement, as he was on a 1 year deal for 2024. So, it could be a free agent situation, but I have to imagine if, you know, his partners are possibly Ben and JW, that he's going to find a way to get something done and play with one or both of those guys. So, so that's a very good partnership and very good connectivity and comfortability between those two. CJ Klinger, James Ignatowicz, which has happened a time or two. But yeah, James needs to get it together a little bit. He's had he kind of tailed off a bit towards the end of 2024. And,
do you think it's just a consistency thing? Yeah. Just,
yeah. I mean,
making enough balls.
Yeah. Ebbs and flows of a season too. Yeah. You know, you get in little different mental headspaces throughout the year, have some dips, play incredible for
Dude's
five
on
tournaments.
Court a lot.
He's on court possibly.
I mean, teaching
some,
too.
Yeah.
Maybe
some
too
might
much.
Say too much. Some might say
yeah,
too much.
Honestly,
so
not fresh enough mentally to go into these events, you know, that's a real thing.
It is.
He's teaching, he's doing three me's before events, mm-hmm. after events,
playing
he's
with four O's,
yes. playing with four O's, like, which is so dope, right? It's so cool. But I do worry about his court time and being
yep.
fresh enough to really go in feeling mentally clear and ready to fight.
Yeah, and he had that shoulder injury also, which I think was part of that court time, seems to be over it now. But the kid, CJ Klinger, the luscious lefty, he can do it, playing some great ball. No reason to think that he is not going to continue to improve. So whatever you want to say about James' recent results, the dude has an elite level of power and offensive ability. So hopefully he can harness that and they can make a nice run. Of course, Hayden and Fed don't need to say anything about
that. Who
does
he have? Sorry? Who did you say he has?
CJ Klinger and James.
Who does James have as?
CJ Klinger.
Okay. Well, CJ is going to be a rock. He's going to be so steady. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll be ready for when James speeds up, like CJ will be there, that forehand in the middle. I think, yeah, that's going to be an interesting partnership. Yep. Do have an update from David Hathaway, Godfather Pickleball Agency, who represents Gabe Tardio. I said, on the pod, did Tardio sign anything? Is he going to India? He said, you will know soon, making progress on a decision. So
okay.
No clear update yet. But
yeah, thanks for the non-updated update. I appreciate that.
Hey, at least
Pablo
at least
and Dylan,
an update's an update.
Looks like they're going to yep. have a chunk of tournaments together to start 2025. And they played okay, not fantastic at the year-end championship. So I know that they are tight off court, so hopefully they can get something going and another righty-lefty matchup. And this one, of course, is a big-time tier below, but Travis Rettenmeier and Donald Young. So Donald Young, he hits a special ball. When he hits it, like if he can, you know, figure a couple things out, kind of figure out exactly how to utilize his strengths, he has yep. some special skills. So that is definitely something to dream on and not currently there, but wanted to mention yeah. that. And then the last one, very interesting, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what are your thoughts on, I agree. I think Donald still has a lot of upside just in terms of decision-making and figuring out where to attack and speed up and just all the basic stuff that
you all that stuff,
get
yeah.
over time with reps. Where do you feel Rettenmeier is right now?
I mean he's a guy. Yeah. So he's old.
Okay.
I mean that's a problem.
Okay.
That's a problem. I think he has a solid skill set. I think that he's certainly it's hard to find or dream on another level for him. So
yeah.
I'm not sure that he has that in him at this point in his career, but he's good. I mean, he's a good player. He had some quality results with Zane Navratil. And it's like right when you kind of forget about him, he's kind of in a big match. So I like Travis. I think he's super cool, actually. And I think that his game is just fine. I just struggle to find like huge upside with him.
The next gear. Yeah.
Right.
Do you feel like a guy like that should focus a little bit more on being like a Matt Wright, where it's,
yeah.
you know, you're covering, because
yeah.
right now Travis is playing left side and you're playing left side against 20-year-olds, right? You're playing against guys that are incredibly athletic and cover a lot of court. And I'm not saying Travis isn't, but age does, it is there. You're not going to be as explosive as you were when you're 20, 25. So,
yeah, and he has a good skill.
Do you think
skills?
He should adjust to like a right side type? Like
yeah,
setup
I
guy,
do.
Counter guy. I do too.
I do because he has a good backhand punch counter and he has a quality forehand speed up off the bounce. So that's
yep.
two of Matt Wright's best things. So Matt yep. Wright, a smart guy, and he made that transition from left side stud to right side role player. And I think Travis is extremely similar to Matt Wright. And I would like him to do that. And I know for the Florida Smash, granted, this was a couple years ago, but, you know, Travis was playing right because they had J.W. Johnson on the left. And I just don't think that Travis is quite as comfortable on the right as he is on the left. And he wants to play the left. But, you know, sometimes you just got to shift your thought process. And I think he has the skill set to be good on the right. So, and speaking of Matt Wright, Matt Wright partnered up with Kwong Duong. Now, that's fun.
That's
extremely fun. So, and like, I mean, it pairs together perfectly. Kwong can do everything that Matt can't do. Yeah. Kwong could frivolously speed up in a weird situation, but Matt's going to be in his little sliver with that backhand punch. And also some possible cleanup. Oh my goodness. Bring him over. Oh, we got the kid. We got the kid coming in.
God, the smile. I know he's going to be doing the toothy smile. Let's bring it.
Come on over, buddy. But yeah, so Kwong and Matt Wright, I think is extremely
That's
fun. And
very
just another,
fun.
Another team that you're not thrilled about playing. AJ, come on over, buddy. Let's see. Oh my goodness gracious.
Oh, the AJ. Hood on. Let's go.
He's got his animal. He's got his animal jacket. His animal
so
jacket.
Freaking adorable, man.
AJ, that's Rob. How you doing, buddy? How you doing? You got 5 more seconds, AJ. Do something
Let's
cool.
Let's go, guy. Let's go. Let's go.
Do
Let's
something
go.
Cool.
Do something.
Here comes mom coming in.
He's
Let's
like,
see
mom,
the
mom,
smile.
Mom, mom. He's like, mom. Yeah, he'll only smile when mom's coming. There it is. That's kind of like a nervous. Oh, there. Okay, that's nice.
Hey, perfect.
It was a little bit of like a nervous smile, like, help me.
Yeah, that's right. Like, what's going on right now? All right, go have fun outside, buddy. Great animal jacket. Okay, so that's for the Masters, that's for men's doubles, and there's plenty of other couple other new teams, but those are the ones that kind of caught my eye. And of course there's like the standard, you know, like Deckel and Tysons, who have played a bunch of pickleball together, mixed in with the new partnerships. So
yeah,
for the women, we have HTB, Hurricane Tyra Black, and Georgia Johnson. Ooh, lots of firepower. Lots of good hands. You know, if they play a consistent soft stuff or just don't hit any soft stuff, that could be that could be a tough team. And then on the complete opposite side of that is Elise Jones and Jesse Irvin, who are kind of ball makers extraordinaire, veterans, lack that. You know, that firepower that the team that I talked about previously, but you know, they don't hit it out a lot, so that is a good situation for them, and they could be a frustrating team to play. So that could, both of those teams are solid squads, completely different styles though. Jackie Kawamoto and Glosdog Vivian Glosman. I think that's an interesting pairing.
Yep, that is. Some firepower and a rock. Uh-huh.
That's right. And, you know, Jackie is kind of, she's more of that hybrid role now. So she's rolling dink. She's throwing in topspin lobs. She's speeding up off the bounce. So, you know, Kawamoto rocks are a thing of the past. And I think that, you know, Glosdog with, I would want to say maybe elite potential, has
elite power. That's for
elite power, length, take stuff out of the air, has a special skill set. So I still think that there is a little room for growth, even though I think she's been a bit inconsistent overall in her career.
Yeah.
Another new partnership, Tina Pisnik and Kate Fahey. I think that could be fun. Full on mid-40s veteran, and then the up-and-comer, but starting to get away from rookie status, Kate Fahey. So possibly see some doubles results improve for her, already a stud on the singles court.
With Tina, when do you think, with the paddles staying hot, I mean, even though we've got, you know, obviously some sunsetting, there's still plenty of paddles that are very hot. Would that be in the case? And basically it removes time, right? For people that are in their 40s, I turn 40 this year. Let's go. Or next year. You're not as quick as you used to be. You have less time with the paddle pop. At what point does that really affect Tina in her game? Or do you think she can manage it and she's going to be fine getting to the line, be fine crossing? I think it's obviously an advantage for her in MLP because there's no switching. But with, I mean, nowadays, Adam, you see it like on switches, like teams can run off 3 or 4 points with a big serve and a big forehand. Like it's a real thing.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
It goes quick.
I think it's different for everyone. I think it starts to, and you kind of see it in other, you know, big sports where some dudes fall off and at 30 or early 30s. And then, you know, some have that long career where they don't seem much different in their late 30s as their early 30s. So I do think it's different for everyone. And I like what Tina brings to the table, and I think that she has worked on her offense so that she doesn't have to be a full-on grinder. And another thing to think about as you get a little bit older is tracking the ball. Eyes are extremely important in this sport, and I think that gets overlooked. You know, it's just like hand speed, physicality, bending, lunging, all of that stuff, of course, decreases as you age. But also tracking the ball and being on it with your eyes is, you know, an important factor as well. So, getting old is not an ideal situation. And
on the note of age, though, Adam, we have yet to see in the history of pickleball somebody hit that 50 mark and still be very relevant in the pro game.
Yeah.
Do you feel like Matt Wright could be that guy? Do you feel like what women are close to late 40s? I mean, we've got, you know, Lee Whitwell turned 50, like kind of dominated the senior tour. We've got obviously Simone in her 40s, we've got Susanna Barr in her 40s, we've got Tina Pisnik in her 40s. I think Matt's probably the closest to hitting 50. Do you think he'll be able to maintain once he turns 50 and still play pro?
Well, I thought no, and he keeps proving me wrong. So the guy's hand speed and speed ups are just absolutely fantastic. Anybody that is that kind of age, I think he's the closest because Lee Whitwell, she was playing pro before she was playing senior pro, and it kind of tailed off, you know, towards the end. And I'm not knocking anyone. You got Steve Deacon, who's still playing at the pro level, but is, you know, not exactly
not
moving
getting
deep
results.
Moving deep into draws. So I think in the sport of pickleball, it is possible. And from a hand speed perspective, I think Matt Wright's the closest for me. So, and also it could be a situation where it's more a guy than a girl, just from like a length size. Size does not age, and length does not age. You know, whereas some of that foot speed and the ability to lunge. So, if you're 5'6", 5'8", as a female, that makes it tougher to play your role and cover your part of the court, where if you're a 6 foot plus guy, it makes it a little bit easier. So everyone in their 40s, very impressive. And I would have to put Matt Wright number one as someone who could stay relevant for a couple or few more years and possibly approach that 50 mark. I believe he's 47 right now. So it's impressive. It's very impressive.
Super impressive. Yeah. I mean, for him to, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, just a couple other ones to touch on before we get to mixed doubles. To cap it off is Stamen Schneeman and Megan Dazan. That's a lot of firepower if they're playing well. You know, Schneeman with a small stature, lots of power. Megan Dazan has always had the easy power, good leverage, and uses her length nicely. And Paris Todd and Callie Smith as well. So. Also another team with pretty quality raw power. Those are the ones that caught my eye on the women's side of things. And then mixed, there is quite a few. Well, let's just start off with the special friends, AJ Kohler and Megan Dazan. How about that? So I'm not sure they're going to make a deep run, but I wanted to mention that the special friends thing. And that also segues over to AJ Kohler, who had a little bit of a tussle with the Alhoonies at the previous tournament in Daytona. So
nose to nose, actually.
Yeah, a little nose to nose, maybe the slightest of headbutts was involved in
that's a love tap.
Love tap. But Mo Alhoonie,
I thought he was going for the kiss, to be honest.
Yeah, Mo Alhoonie wasn't even playing the match. He was just watching his brother play, who was playing with Spencer Smith. And it was funny to me because Spencer Smith was kind of sitting off to the side while all this is happening. And at the World Pickleball Championships like 4 years ago, Spencer Smith and Matt Wright got into it pretty heavily in a mixed match. But that is just a little tidbit from the past. But I, you don't mess with the Iceman. You don't mess with AJ Kohler. He has that little switch. And if he feels like someone that he respects has been wronged or he has been wronged, he's going to let you know about it. So
yeah.
I have no doubt that Mohamed Alhoonie was chirping from the sidelines. There could have been a bad call or two in that match. And you know, when you have Matt Wright kind of fueling the AJ fire, it's not surprising that there was a little tiff in that one. But I like it. Nobody threw a punch. Nobody got hurt. It was just some intense talking, and I am for that, as we have very recently talked about on the pod.
Yeah, it's AJ is the last guy in pickleball that I would probably want to like pick a fight with.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
Like.
If he's not number one, he is very high on that list. So
I
agree completely.
Pesa Teone's very high on that list too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Pesa. Who else is high on that list? That's a fun. Yeah. This is a fun. Topic.
Yeah, there's a few. There's a few sprinkled in there. So you know, and like
probably
even though
probably Pablo might.
Yeah,
be there.
Yeah, Pablo. I agree. It's like Matt is a crap talker, but he's not on that list. He's not very high on that list.
Matt's walking away after. Like,
yeah, yeah, that's got, right.
Matt's a wordsmith, but he's not going to be the guy that he's like, going to let AJ come in and clean it up.
You know for a fact that Matt Wright should have been punched in his face several times in his life, but he talked to him. You know, like he's one of those guys for sure. It's like he's about to get hit and he just throws in a little lawyer action and you know all of a sudden it's de-escalated. So,
Adam, have you ever been in a fight?
Never.
So, have you ever gotten close?
I was actually reasonable with my words in some of those situations where I talked out of it. I did when I was like, there was a guy giving me some crap when I was like 8 years old and I tripped him and I kicked him in the back and I drove away on my bike and I rode away on my bike.
A little hit and run action.
A little hit and run. And it was like crazy because he was like psycho running after me and he like almost got me like before I could start getting my pedals really going, and then I hit my next gear and got away from him. So that was probably the closest for me. I've never punched anyone in the face, and I've never been punched in the face.
Okay, well,
how about you?
I've gotten punched in the face once.
How'd that go?
I didn't, not well. it was in high school. It was in PE and we were playing basketball, and I was honestly like, there were times I was a PE basketball, just God. I would not like just absolutely can't dribble with my left hand, but I could get open and I would shoot like 75% from three. Like there were times where I just couldn't miss. And this guy was getting really pissed and he was like starting to like face guard me. He was like, I'm like, dude, this is like, we're just PE, relax, dog. And he was just like constantly like in my face. And then, so I had the ball here acting like I was looking for somebody to pass to. And then I like acted like somebody was like cutting. And then I threw the ball right at his face.
Ooh.
And it hit him. And then he popped me and I went down.
And you went down. And I went down. Oh, that's hilarious. So yeah, you got the worst end of that. He got the ball. You got the fist. But that's funny that you say that, because I am like a basketball stud for people that don't play basketball. Like I'm very good at basketball. You know, I play someone good, I'm going to get destroyed. But basketball is probably, growing up pre-pickleball, was probably my second favorite sport to play behind tennis. So I love a good basketball, and it ramps up the emotions. It does.
Oh, it does.
When you're guarding someone, yeah, and there's you're close to them, you're talking crap. I've seen quite a few basketball fights, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, he got me.
He got you. It's okay. It's all right.
He popped me.
Was it cheek, mouth, nose?
No, it was like directly like middle of the face, like boom.
Yeah, yeah. Did you tattle on him?
The teacher saw.
He saw it happen.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk. Let's finish off with little mixed doubles.
Sure.
Oh yeah. Oh, I already talked about one of them. But that was yep. a. So we have Christian Alshon and Tyra Black. Explosive team that could be. Yep. That could be some problems for anybody, as I think Alshon is.
He's up there.
He might be number mixed. Two in mixed. At least, if he's not number two in mixed, I think that he has the skill set to be number two in short order. The court coverage that he has and some of the ability to speed up from a variety of positions is pretty special. So I would say he's slightly better at mixed than men's right now. And he's the skill set is off the charts. Anna, AB, and Hayden, not surprising. St. Louis Shock teammates played quite a bit together. And of course, that is a fantastic team. Hayden is the complete opposite of Alshon, where I believe that he is better at men's gender doubles than he is at mixed right now. So still very high on both lists, but he's not a big guy, and that is more of an issue in mixed than men's. We have Fed and Catherine. Fed and Catherine. That is interesting.
Solid.
Very, very solid. And Catherine played fantastic at the year-end championships with Alshon. And Fed played solid but unspectacular throughout most of 2024, himself and Rachel Rohrabacher. Had a couple of nice runs, but I think overall slightly disappointed from a results perspective. So that could be very fun. And Paris and Kwong Duong. So QD, he's got that all out, let it fly style. So in mixed doubles, that can always wreak havoc. So that could be a fun team to watch. And a couple other kind of more upper middle class pairings that I saw as new and Jaime Martinez, Vic, Jackie Kawamoto, Leia and Andre and Riley Newman and Vivian Glosman, to round it out. Any thoughts on any of those particular
Newman and Glaz? That's kind of fun. I think they could be a solid surprise.
I agree. And I think Riley is at this point a little bit better at mixed than men's as well, even though he did win worlds. He's an athletic guy and he's like 6'2". So
that helps
a lot. So I think that of those three teams, that one would probably intrigue me the most of Leia and Andre, Xiaomi and Jackie, and of course Glosman and Riley. So that could be fun. And Jaume plays some quality mix too, but again, he's like Hayden. He's like Hayden.
Not that big, yeah.
Yeah, it's
but
just.
They move well, but I like when I picture them, or when I like think back and look back, when they're making errors, it's because Hayden's overextending a little bit. It's a little out of his reach. And that's just purely a size thing, right? It's
like, purely.
You know, if you're an Alshon there and you're reaching and you're more set and you have it, like it's a huge difference. It's a huge difference.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, two of the best movers that we have, but you know, 5'8" is 5'8". That's just what it is.
Beautiful preview, Adam.
Yeah, no, it is. It's beautiful. Good. It's going to be exciting to see these matchups. And last thing I have on my notes here, Rob, is it looks like Ben is going to be playing with Max Freeman at a tournament coming up after the Masters. So I think that this is very surprising. Max, tons of upside.
Raw.
Yeah. Very raw, tons of upside. Lefty, protege of James Ignatowicz, who I believe he dropped to play with Ben. I think it's a Cape Coral tournament, not positive, on that. Eric Tice, call me out. I need examples, Eric. But I called a match. It was actually James Ignatowicz and Max Freeman playing together in Las Vegas at the Fountain Blue. And they had a good lead on somebody. Maybe it was Connor Garnett and Tyler Leung, but it kind of fell apart at the end for them. I also know that Max Freeman and Casey Diamond at Worlds had a nice run and almost beat Dylan Frazier and J.W. Johnson. So there is a lot to like in Max Freeman's game, but he is a relatively unknown, especially to a casual pickleball fan. So interesting choice to get paired up with the GOAT, and that could be fun.
Kyle Yates is the GOAT. What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, I mean he is the original.
He's in the Hall of Fame, dog.
In the Hall of Fame in his mid to late 20s. Not a lot of people can pull that. Not a lot of people can pull that off.
I mean, that's something else. That's
yeah,
wild.
It is. I'm guessing Kyle's probably about 28 or 29 now. So that's my slate of notes and partnerships and fun 2025 action. You have anything else before we sign off, brother?
No, we've got to keep this under an hour, 60 minutes. We're at 59. I'll wrap it up in under a minute here.
Okay.
India is starting up. There's PWR, which is going to have a league in January. Then they're going to have a bunch of tournaments, a PWR tour, essentially all like pretty much 50Ks. They're going to have a few. They have a couple $1 million purses scheduled, which are going to be a mix of team and individual. Global Sports is going to have a couple of leagues in 2025, along with, I think, a handful of tournaments. The World Pickleball League is just having their one event. They might do something else later in the year. So a lot happening internationally. Really exciting to see. Got the APP having their first tournament at the Fort, which was a postponement from December to January. And then I think they have 10 to 12 tournaments on the year. So that is it, Adam. That's 2024. 2025 is coming in hot. Look forward to covering week in and week out in 2025 with you, buddy.
Yep. Happy holidays. And this will come out after the new year. But wish everyone well tonight. Be safe and don't indulge too much.
Yeah, just to the amount where it feels right.
Just enough.